Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments of Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. Find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Well, today we're going to get updated as to what the heck is going on at the Rock Hill Schools Foundation. We are surrounded by beauty at the table. See, I am the rose. I mean, I'm the thorn between all these roses over here, right? Megan Pat, who is the brand spanking new executive director of the Schools Foundation, and Roseanne Kellner, who is the board chair. So, ladies, welcome. How y'all doing?
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
All right, let's see. Why don't we start with a newbie first? Okay. This is a first for you.
No pressure.
No pressure. All right, here you go. We're live on the radio, so don't screw this up. All right, tell everybody a little bit about Megan Pat.
Okay. Well, I'm Megan Pat. Thank you. Born and raised here in Rock Hill, grew up in the Rock Hill school system, along with my siblings. My parents are both retired educators from Rock Hill Schools. I've got three of our four children that are in the school system right now. One of them still in preschool. So it's I've been with nonprofits and education throughout my academic and professional career, so it's really cool to kind of watch it come full circle and be back here and be a part of this again.
This is really, that is with that background. Okay, Roseanne, tell everybody about Roseanne Kellner.
All right. I am the president of the Education Foundation Board, and this is my second term in that position. And
means you missed a meeting, right?
Yeah, missed a meeting. No, it does not mean that. It means that I love this foundation, and I love being involved. I have a daughter in the school system. I just graduated a son from the school Woo-hoo! System, so I've got a college student for the first time.
God bless you.
I know. That's a big transition that we've gone through. I am a former educator, art teacher, and so my passion for education and commitment to our school system has kind of brought me.
So for the purposes of the audience, tell them a little background about the foundation. I mean, how long has it been around?
It's been around for a pretty long time. I don't even know the exact amount of time. I've been involved with it for the last 4 years. I came in as a friend of the foundation, which I loved, helping out, planning events, and that really got my feet wet. It helped me to see on more of a ground level the behind the scenes of what the foundation does, and of course it helped me fall in love with the mission of kind of the conduit between our school system and the community, and from there I just knew it was something that I wanted to be a part of because it supports our kids, it supports our educators, and just gives back in so many ways. So I was very blessed that I was asked to help in that way.
The foundation, if I remember right, was put together pretty much to help out where there was a need that was not able to be solved by tax revenue.
Right.
And it seems to me it may even go back to that old issue where teachers did not have enough money to get supplies for the classroom.
Right.
And this is before the legislature actually started putting some money into the budget for that purpose. Anyway, I think that's where it goes back to. But since that time, the role has expanded, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So tell us some of the things that the foundation does.
Well, can I say one thing real quick?
Go for it.
I know it's been around for a very long time because we just hit last school year $1 million that we've given away in grants.
In teacher grants.
In teacher grants.
How about that?
So that's been years of giving, donating, investing by our community, by our educators, that we hit that $1 million mark.
Well,
huge milestone.
That's a huge milestone, for sure. And I can remember being out there 1 year with Alice Davis as these grants were being awarded and these surprise visits to schools.
Yeah.
and we'd sit out there in the parking lot, and she'd erase the big old poster check and put in the current name and the amount of money and what have you. But it's it was enabling teachers to do special kinds of projects that they wanted to do that they thought would benefit the classroom. It's a competitive process. We'll get into that in a minute.
Yes.
All right. So besides the teacher grants, what are you all doing?
Another one of our programs is Back the Pack. And Roseanne and I were actually there this morning helping pack bags. And last year that fed about 750 students in Rock Hill Schools weekly. And what that does is discreetly sends home a pack of food that they can eat over the weekend in their backpacks. But one of my favorite parts about the program is that it's really a full circle operation because students at ATC are enrolled in this course called Logistics and Distribution. So they're learning the science behind the planning, the preparation, the packing, and everything involving getting the food ready. And they're involved with preparing it for volunteers to come in and get it ready to send out to the kids. So we've got Rock Hill students preparing the operation, and then it's blessing another group of Rock Hill students that need the food on the weekend. So it's really cool just to watch it come full circle.
I've been out there for a couple of things and seen how that's, I mean, it's done just like a warehouse.
It is a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
Yes, it is so well-organized.
It really is. They've got it down to a science.
So the kids, the 750 kids, I mean, they don't apply for this help. They are, what did I say, targeted by teachers. The teachers can see the kinds of conditions, and they pass it on somehow?
They're identified by their teachers, by their guidance counselors, anyone in the school who can recognize there might be a need, hunger over the weekend. So those names are then in turn given to our district, and then they're included in the Back the Pack meals.
I was going to say, actually, last week they packed 841 bags, which shows you that's almost 100 more students in the first month of school than we, you know, on average were doing last year. So the need is increasing here in the district.
Is that a high, 840?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. It grew throughout last year because more children were identified through COVID, of course, and then... And it's just continued to go up even this year. So, So the impact of our program is, I think, is even bigger.
So is this just elementary age children or is it middle school?
It's up through high school. It's district-wide.
So you're now going up through high school, which is good. Which was always a challenge because, you know, in high school everything's cool. You know, you got to have the right sneakers and the right jacket and that kind of stuff.
Right.
And if your peers in high school... see your backpack stuffed with food, that could create problems.
Right.
So when you say discreetly, you mean discreetly.
Right. The students in high school, if I'm not correct, they know that there's a place for them to go to get it.
Ah.
Like maybe the guidance counselor or a special room that's been designated.
Right. Yep. So they do it discreetly, very discreetly.
Right.
Wow.
They get creative about the distribution, but I think one of the goals of Back the Pack is taking the stigma out of that, because the truth is at some point in our life we're going to be on the receiving end, and at some point we can be on the giving end. So there's actually been a lot of students that have come through Back the Pack who have been recipients of Back the Pack growing up or similar programs, and now they're excited to be on the other end of it. So it's neat to watch that, too.
So I just, you know, it just floors me that we've got this many kids that are hungry. So you only do this on the weekends? Is that right?
We send it home on the weekends. I guess the mindset is because they can receive breakfast and lunch at school during the school day. So this is an opportunity to send them home with something when they're not at school to have a hot meal.
Right. Well, truth be known, I'll bet you it wouldn't be hard to double that number of people who need help. It's just, I get so irritated every time I think about this, that you bring a child into the world and you can't feed them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that mindset. I don't care what your conditions are. Most parents would do anything they possibly could to put something on the table.
Right.
But Anyway, it is what it is, and thank heavens that you got the foundation to take care
thank
of
thank heavens. And it's just, you know, like Megan said, we went and packed today, and it really is a blessing in so many ways. There's volunteers that are there every pack date, and then there's groups that come in that want to see more about what we do. And it's, I think everybody that volunteers, their eyes are open, their hearts are open, and they always leave with more gratitude than when they got there.
Seeing is believing.
Seeing is believing.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yes.
So volunteers is never an issue. You got plenty of them.
We can always use more volunteers, please.
Helping hands are a good thing.
Helping hands are a good thing. And last year with COVID, we had to work separately from the kids in that logistics class, and we're going to be doing that again. So they get everything prepped and ready, and then we'll come in behind them and pack. What will we pack in a pack day? Like, I think maybe 1,500 bags in an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. That's enough for 2 weeks of delivery. So we pack every 2 weeks. So assembly line. We've got it going. We're, you know.
So how does it actually get to the kids' backpacks?
So they use district transportation to deliver it to the schools.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then once it gets to the schools, then the schools take over from there and get it to either the teachers or to those locations.
I got you.
All right. It is all hands on deck from start to finish.
And then, of course, when you get into the summer, what do you do? What does back to pack do during the summer?
In the summer,
school's not in session.
In the summer, I think that we had some different alternatives. It wasn't food
they
trucks.
They had the mobile pantry.
Mobile pantries.
That was district led and sponsored. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. But there's some different operations.
So this food, you're buying this food basically through the same vendors that prepare the food.
Actually,
no.
We are using we're using Second Harvest Food Bank, and so that is something that has come around in the last couple of years that we've switched to them, and so it's planned out for the entire year. We do several huge orders, and then the food arrives in the warehouse. The logistics class kind of unpacks it, counts it, sorts it, and then we're off and running, packing the bags.
And the beauty of that is you buy it by the pound. Is that right? You don't know.
out of my jurisdiction. Yeah. I just know that it's...
Well, you're not giving this food free, are you?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
No.
And with the Second Harvest, I think the way they do it is you buy it by the pound.
Right. Uh-huh. Right.
And it arrives at the school, at your warehouse, and you have all your little helpers, and they put it where it's supposed to go.
Right. And they're learning how to do all the loading and unloading, and then...
So where do we generate the dollars to do this?
That's where our investors come in.
Aha.
Our community, our educators, our investors really are the instrumental part of all of this, because without them, then we do not have the dollars that we need to provide this.
It takes about $125,000 annually to run the whole Back the Pack program, and that, of course, numbers that we've used from previous years, so that number may grow with COVID and, you know, the numbers growing for children. So if someone wanted to, you know, invest in the program, an easy number to keep in mind is it's about $5 a week to feed each child. So it's about $180 annually to feed a child with Back the Pack throughout their school year. And so we've got one of the other cool things that Roseanne touched on was that our educators actually invest in the program, which is amazing. So they will sign up to have a payroll deduction takeout. So we've got teachers investing in Back the Pack and teacher grants, and then we've got community individual donors that chip in and community businesses. So it, like, you know, the volunteer packing of the bags, it's all hands on deck. Everybody's chipping in to make this work financially and then practically.
And that's something. $5 a week.
That's right.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. So it takes you about $125,000 to run that part of your program. Mm-hmm. Then when you talk about the grants that you do for the teachers, that runs about what and where are those?
We want to give away $100,000 annually. That's our goal.
That's our target.
Yeah. To get to $2 million in the near future.
Yep. We're working on our second million here.
and
big.
That $100,000 is normally given out, what, $500 increments? Or
actually, we welcome Dream Big ask big. We have grants that range from $200 and $300 and up. It depends on the needs. Maybe it's an individual classroom grant. Maybe it is a grade level grant. Maybe it's a school-wide grant. Maybe it's a district-wide grant. It just, there's so many different creative and innovative ideas out there, and we welcome them all. So,
I want you to try to think about one of the really cool ideas that popped up in one of these grants. And because of what Back the Pack does or what the foundation does, this idea was able to actually become reality.
There was a really cool grant. I mean, there's so many. I mean, it's just it amazes me to read the grants and just to think how these teachers' wheels are spinning on ways to reach their kids. So a couple of things jump out at me. Last grant cycle, which we have three every school year, we kind of spread them out across the school year because we know teachers have different ideas that pop up. It was this kind of three-dimensional not really like a sand table, but it was like topographic, geographic landforms, and it's all like electronic and three-dimensional. It was like one of three in the whole state, and I think it went to Independence, but it was going to be shared amongst the whole district. It was the coolest thing ever, because of course you get online when you're reading the grant and like, what is this? What are they talking about? I need to see a little bit more about this. And you're like, oh my gosh, if I'd had that when I was younger, I'd probably remember more. You know, touching on all those, you know, all those things. And then another grant that was at Cherry Park, the special ed teacher, gifted and talented teacher, Ms. McNay, wrote a grant for these benches to be made, and they're at Miracle Park and at Cherry Park. The kids collected bottle caps. It was a school-wide effort. The bottle caps were melted and turned into benches that are then installed in Miracle Park. So it was all, you know, again, like a full circle. The kids brought in, they counted, they took something that's going to be trash, turned it into treasure, and now it's going to be there forever.
Yeah. So. All right, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And, of course, our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now, I did not tell you what we're about to do, but these are smart ladies. They're educators, right? We're going to tell everybody what we do here at Substation 2 out loud, where how we prepare fresh subs and salads. It's in the white letters, and we're going to say it together out loud. Are you ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, 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 garden.
All right, back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Hey, Alex, have you tried that new pastrami on rye at Substation 2?
You're darn right I have, and you should too. It's freshly sliced, lean, delicious, served hot, and piled high. And I understand you better hurry because it's a limited time offer.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When your health needs attention, you'll find compassionate care at Piedmont Medical Center. We make it convenient to treat emergencies with online check-in and locations in Rock Hill and Fort Mill. Or if you live with a heart condition, our cardiologists provide advanced treatment options to help you live better. And for pain that slows you down, a minimally invasive surgery can help speed you on to recovery. We are your community built on care.
PiedmontMedicalCenter.com.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax, you're home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 41064.
Hey, Alex, have you tried that new pastrami on rye at Substation 2?
You're darn right I have, and you should too. It's freshly sliced, lean, delicious, served hot, and piled high. And I understand you better hurry because it's a limited time offer.
Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. By the way, the new hours here at Substation 2, Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday. They're off on Sunday. Okay. Megan Pat, the new brand spanking... wrong way. Let me try that again. Megan Pat, the new executive director of the Rock Hill Schools Foundation, and her able-bodied commander-in-chief,
right.
Roseanne Kellner, with us today, a.k.a. the board chair. And so we're talking about the stuff that you do is amazing. I mean, you're giving out these grants, $100,000 in grants, to teachers who've got cool ideas for things that they want their students to do to become better educated about whatever. And these teachers, you say there's three grant cycles during the course of the year. Mm-hmm. So there's an application process?
Yes.
How's that work?
The application is on our website.
Which is?
It's the acronym for Rock Hill School District, so RHSDFoundation.org.
Good. Okay.
And they can go on there, and it'll take them to the link where they can submit a grant. We've made it, I think, as streamlined
super
and
simple,
easy
yeah.
as possible. We know teachers do not need one more hurdle.
Right.
And so applying for a grant, we've got to make it simple, and that's what we've done. So
if they don't make it one cycle, they can reapply?
Exactly. They might have a great idea, and then life gets in the way. School gets in the way. That's why we try to spread it out throughout the school year. And we also know that sometimes getting into the classroom and getting to know your students, an idea comes about that way. So that's why we kind of spread it out throughout the school year. Needs come up mid-year that might not be on the first day of school.
Do you always have more applications than you do grants in any cycle?
Normally, yes. Yeah. Normally, we do have.
Gotcha. So you have a committee that goes through these things?
We do. We have a committee of grant readers.
Right.
And so what that entails is getting a packet of grants, all the submissions, and they read through. And we have a rubric that we score based on how many children are affected. How does it align with the goals of the teacher? What is the budget? What do you plan to do with this even beyond the school year, and how will it live on past inception?
Right.
So lots of things that we think about, and our grant committee is made up of former teachers, parents, community members. So you've got this really well-rounded group that come at it from different angles and ask different questions. So it's
so if somebody doesn't get theirs approved, do you go back to the teachers and say, this is a pretty good idea, but we were looking for a little more of this?
Absolutely, because our goal is for all teachers who have needs to meet their needs, not for them to feel like they haven't given us what we wanted. We want everybody to be able to have the tools they need in their classroom. So constructive feedback as to what might be missing is always a part of this process as well.
Interesting. Very interesting. Now, when we talk about, it seems to me, if I remember this correctly, did you not at one time have fundraisers where you did where the high school's bands or the jazz quartets or something came together to raise money? Or am I thinking about something else? I'm probably thinking something else. But what do you do? I mean, besides just saying we'd love to have donations, do you do any formal fundraising at all?
We do. Right now we're in the middle of our educator campaign, so teachers are in the process of making that financial commitment through their paycheck, and then we're going to launch our annual campaign in mid-October, and that's where we invite community people, individuals, organizations, businesses to contribute. But honestly, I mean, we'll take your money at any point. I mean, Back the Pack is happening, so there's a need for investment now. So we can... they can visit our website, the RHSDFoundation.org, and there's a Donate Now button. And there's also a P.O. box for mailing checks if you prefer to go that route. But the need is always there, whether it's Back the Pack or teacher grants or our student celebration or Principal for a Day. There's always programming going on.
So tell me, this annual campaign, besides sending out a nice email, whatever, what else do you do?
Well, we've got a couple of different layers in the works. We're going to, you know, it's all relational. So we need to get our message out there, tell our story. And if somebody hears our story or visits a volunteer opportunity at Back the Pack or is a recipient of a grant and they tell someone and they tell someone and, you know, just continuing to tell our story, that leads to more opportunities for conversations to see how businesses can partner with us or individuals can partner with us. So it's kind of a layered approach of conversations and letters and emails and texts to give opportunities and, you know, directing people to the website.
And then a couple of years ago, we started a new program that was really a cool idea, Principle for a Day. And we invited community members to come and partner with and get paired with principals from different schools in the district and spend the morning with the principal.
Talk about an eye-opener.
Exactly. I think some of the community members hadn't really been inside of a school in a while. I mean, for that period of time, other than maybe a kid's event or something. So walking through the morning with the principal from, like, maybe car duty to, you know, change of classes, depending on where
all
they were.
Things.
Yes. And they were all like, wow, school has really changed.
Well, so, I would think that most parents... Really, matter of fact, I know this for a fact because I remember reporting on this story. The Wall Street Journal, this is going back 6 months ago at least, did a survey about parents who are now responsible for educating their kids at home during this doggone pandemic. And it came up with two results. Number one, there was a newfound appreciation for teachers.
Yep.
No question about it. And they felt overwhelmingly that all teachers deserve a hefty pay raise.
Absolutely. I think all parents would agree to that wholeheartedly.
Which is why we're hoping that what we're going through now will keep the kids in school and not result in another let's go home and try to be educated by a tube, a video board or whatever, which is not going to work.
Or a parent working from home.
So where do we go from here? You're the new director. What do you want to bring to the table that will rock and roll this thing?
I want to get our story out there. I feel like it's a kind of a well-kept secret within the district. I'm a parent of the district, like I said, and I really wasn't familiar with all the programming that the foundation does. So I think there's a huge growth opportunity for us to share, you know, what we're doing and invite other families and district parents and community members to come alongside us and to grow this program. And, you know, I'd love to give away more than $100,000 annually to teachers. And I'd love to continue feeding children and meeting the need as that's growing. So I think there's growth opportunity across the board.
Well, it's a challenge getting people's attention. There's any question about it. They're so distracted by all the silliness in the world, particularly... Where is that stupid thing? Right here.
Yes.
That we all carry in our pockets and purses and what have you that 90% of the time has useless information. 10% of the time it's a really nice tool to have.
All right.
Well, ladies, you've done a great job. Thank you for all you do with the Rock Hill Schools Foundation. And again, their website is rhsdfoundation.org.
Got it.
You got it.
Yes. Thank you so much for having us today. We appreciate the time.
All right. So that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program for this. What is this, Wednesday afternoon, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice. What are you laughing at me for conservative investors? Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. She's had to put up with this for a long time. So, anyway, by the way, ladies, we're going to give you one more time to redeem yourselves. Right? But they're still laughing. All right. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2. The magical way we do it is in the white letters, and we're going to bellow it out at the top of our lungs. Are we ready? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.